Welcome to the Business Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce you, Ms. Shahara Wright. Shahara, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you so much, Tanya. I really appreciate you having me. This is my first virtual summit. I just joined as a PSA member, so I'm really excited to be among all of these great speakers and to talk to other speakers and other listeners about building your business through strategic alliances. I am currently attending a seminar in Dallas called the Power Networking Conference, and I just heard a speaker right before I left to come on the line who actually was one of the apprentices. And he won, I think, in year three, and he was talking about building strategic alliances, and he was talking about the importance of how we need to do this. And so I was really excited because this is something important that I think all businesses, especially small businesses, need to look at. Typically, when people are talking about strategic alliances, one of the things that happens is that you're only talking about it in a very small type of way. Maybe you're talking about doing a conference together. Maybe you're talking about doing a blog together. Something small, one-off thing that you're looking for. And those are good. Those are nice things that you can do to help build relationships and kind of build your brand. But what I'm talking about in terms of strategic alliances is something longer term, something not necessarily permanent, but has more stake and leaves more of a footprint for your business. So what you really want a strategic alliance to do is to bring you a close collaborative relationship between your business and another business, or maybe two other businesses. You want to share complementary assets and strengths to create increased value for your customers and your organization. And those things are something that you can't do independently. So the whole purpose of having a strategic alliance is to align yourself with another organization or company or person to build you and take you to another level, and that has to be true for both of us. Some great examples of strategic alliances are like Starbucks and Barnes & Noble and Microsoft and Dell. So you know that Starbucks started as a small coffee house nestled in bookstores where people had the opportunity to lounge and read books for free, and they put in a coffee house, Starbucks, that ended up becoming this major entity. And everybody ended up loving the coffee. And based on their experience in Barnes & Noble, Starbucks was able to grow and have its brick-and-mortar type businesses all over the country on every corner, and everybody took to it. And it built both brands. It built Barnes & Noble, it built Starbucks, and they worked well together, and they still work well together today. Also, you have Microsoft and Dell. Microsoft and Dell is a little bit different because the owners are friends. And the owners are friends and they get along well, so they do a lot of business together. But when you buy Dell products, you know that you're getting Microsoft Windows on your product. And they have a collaborative relationship where everything they do together. Now, they each have other partners that they work with, but Microsoft and Dell work very well together, and they utilize each other to build its platforms. So when Dell builds something new, they use Microsoft to create new software, new platforms for them to be able to introduce their hardware, and the same with the software that Microsoft does. When Microsoft wants to introduce new software, they put it on Dell for you to come with it either free or something else so they can try out their new software. So these are how alliances work together, and they can build giants and make bigger companies. So how does that work for you? Well, there's some principles that you need to make a successful strategic alliance. One of those things is that you need to make sure that the alliance is synergistic. That means that the parties are mutually aligned and they have goals, and the alliance is a value proposition to each of the businesses. So I'm going to give an example that probably won't happen, but who the heck knows, it may very well happen. So I'm going to use the National Speakers Association, and I'm going to use the Public Speakers Association, and I'm going to use this example of how you can have two entities going the same direction, working with the same people, and you can still make a strong strategic alliance, and so you can think outside the box about who and what and where you want to work with to build your business and your brand. So let's take this National Speakers Association. Their mission is that every expert who uses the spoken word to present content to audience for a fee belongs to the NSA. And that's a bold mission, and it's difficult to achieve given the barriers to become a member of the NSA. But the Public Speakers Association mission is to change the world from the front of the room. And inherent in that message is the desire to encourage new speakers, to train them, and to give them opportunities. So what you find is that the NSA has more older members, members who have been around for a while, who are very seasoned in their group, and PSA attracts younger generation, attracts new speakers, attracts energetic people who look at the world a little bit differently. So their membership ends up being slightly different, but the mission is close to being the same, which is they want to bring in speakers, they want to train speakers, they want people to be a part of their organization. So let's say that we're going to take that a step further and say, okay, how can we talk about how we're going to do this? Well, both organizations want to train speakers, but one is organic and one is not. So what's the value proposition here? So NSA is a long-term establishment organization that has a certification program that brings significant weight and prestige to it. The PSA is a new, fast-growing organization that attracts young and dynamic speakers and offers opportunities for speaking engagements. But the mutually aligned goal is to increase the number of speakers that exist. So not just ones that exist in the world, but ones that become members of each organization. So taking that, you think, okay, this may work. So what's the next thing that you need to look at? You need to look at, is it strategic? Does it make sense? It means that it affects the long-term destiny of each company. How would this alliance, if it came together, affect the NSA? How would it affect PSA? And how would that work over a long period of time? Not just one day or 2 days, but over 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. How would that look? So look at it from the point of training speakers. The NSA has a speaker academy that attracts few new speakers, but not nearly enough to justify its existence. The PSA attracts several new speakers through its meetups, but doesn't have the formal training system that the NSA has. So what if the two came together on a speakers academy? What if the NSA provides the bones and the structure of the program, and the PSA increases the number of participants and organizes the training sessions? What if those two things could work just for the purpose of the Speakers Academy? Meaning the PSA still has its own organization, the NSA has its own organization, but they come together to create this new academy that's going to last and build and provide training for speakers. Now, if this is going to work, another thing you're going to need is a champion, right? You're going to have somebody or persons who are willing to champion this idea and back it. So this is another characteristic of a strategic alliance, and it's very important because if the leadership doesn't support the alliance, it's doomed. Now, obviously, Tanya would have to be supportive of the alliance, but you also need the members to be supportive because if the members aren't supportive, then they're not going to encourage others to be a part of it. They're not going to want to participate in it. They're not going to want to help train other speakers. So you have to have the buy-in not only from the head, but you also have to have the build-in from the members as well. And the same with the NSA, which works a little bit differently operationally. So you have multiple board members that need to make decisions rather than one person. So those board members have to have the buy-in, as well as the president or CEO has to have that buy-in. And you also have to have the buy-in from the members on that side that they're going to respect and believe in the Speaker Academy and the alliance that goes between these two entities. And what else needs to happen? Well, you need to have tight operational linkages. What does that mean? You have to have a governance structure that's put into place for joint decision-making, problem-solving, conflict resolution, and planning. If you decide that you're going to do this, that means that you need to have some structure to deal with how it's going to do. Who's going to be a part of this strategic alliance? Who are going to make decisions for it? Who are going to deal with the problems they're going to have? What if there's conflict between the two entities? How is that going to be resolved? And how are you going to plan things out to make everything work smoothly? And then the next thing that you need to have is interaction at multiple levels. So that means you need to have interaction from the top, you need to have interaction from the members of each organization, and you also have to have interaction from the people who are taking part in the Speakers Academy. And so those are the things that you need to have in order to have a really strong strategic alliance. So what does that look like for you? So a lot of people think, well, I don't know if I need to do all of this, and it hasn't have to be this formal because it's only just me, and I can get with Tom, and we can do something together. But if you're seriously going to grow your business and you're seriously going to do it over a long time, you need to think about not only Tom, but you think about yourself, and you think about what is the real thing that you're trying to do. So every company, every person has to look inside its organization and determine what is the real reason for entering into a strategic alliance. Is it financial? Do you need to add more revenue to the company? Is it exposure? Do you need the company to be better known? Is it customer driven? Do you need to meet the needs of a specific customer or clientele? Or you don't know, you just heard that strategic alliances were money makers and you decided to enter one. So while I got through telling you all the reasons why you should consider strategic alliance, here's a reason why you should consider waiting to do one, which is you have to determine whether or not you're ready to do a strategic alliance. Because if your company is not financially stable or you don't have the ability to deal with someone else, then you're not ready for a strategic alliance. Because one of the major failures of strategic alliances is that there's one or more partners who isn't capable of bearing the load of a strategic alliance. Because to put it together over a period of time, you're going to have to give your resources. That means your money, your time, your emotions, all of those things you have to put into doing a strategic alliance. So if one company is financially crippled, you're not going to really be able to finance that strategic alliance in the way that you need to. Another thing that you need to look at in terms of it is you need to do a self-check. So what is the financial situation of my company? Can I afford to do a strategic alliance? Do I have any information that is vital to my company? Do I have trade secrets? Do I have patents? Do I have trademarks? Do I have copyrights? All of those things are value that you have, and is that something that you're going to give to the strategic alliance, or is that something that you're going to keep? How is that going to work in terms of what you give to the strategic alliance? Also, you need to think about any other agreements that you're tied to that may interfere with the new alliance. Do you have some exclusivity contract? Do you have another contract that prevents you from working with another business of a similar type? What types of things would keep you from being able to be into alliance? And another thing that's really important a lot of people don't think about is the time concern. Does management have time to nurture a new relationship? And what that means is, do you have time to nurture a new relationship? Because an alliance or a partnership is just like a marriage, right? You have to really spend time into that marriage and really spend time making things work so that you can get the most out of it and the best out of it. And if you don't have time because you're too busy dealing with your own stuff, you're not going to be able to have a successful alliance, and it's not going to work. And also, is the company emotionally ready to handle strategic alliance? It can be very difficult. And one of the things that works against a strategic alliance is when two companies or owners have big egos and they can't seem to get along because everybody wants the glory. The whole part of compromise and the whole thing behind compromise is that you have to be willing to give something up. And that's the same thing with strategic alliance, that you're not going to be able to have everything that you want in a strategic alliance, but you want to take the best of everything that you can get so that you can propel both companies, not just one, into stratospheric success. That's where you want to go. So how do you get to being with a strategic alliance? Well, you definitely want to have some framework about how you're going to do that. A framework could have something about an overall price, profit and losses, initial contributions. You can have all of those different things, or you can just have something about an idea about what you're going and how you're going to work stuff out. But as, you know, an attorney, I always say you got to write it down, because if you don't write it down, it doesn't matter and it's not real. So you got to have something written down so that you know what it is you guys are agreeing to. If you don't have a main agreement, what happens if things don't go through? What happens if the deal breaks through? Who's responsible for what? How do you leave it alone? Have people put in money? Those kinds of things you need to think about in terms of, are we going to go further with this, and what happens if we realize that we're not going to be able to work together? Another thing is that you need to set a deadline for a main deal to be finalized. If you have no deadline, you're never going to reach your goal. You're never going to get to the place that you need to get to in terms of making sure that you get this strategic alliance through. So one of the things that happens if you don't set a deadline is that things mull over, you get distracted with other things that you think is more important, and you never move forward in trying to meet goals and deadlines. And the next thing is that you want to talk about the form of strategic alliance. And that really is going to depend on how long you plan on making this work. So for my example, between the NSA and PSA, you can say, okay, that Speakers Academy is going to be its own entity. It's going to be its own company. So maybe the two entities decide they're going to make a new LLC or a new corporation called the Speakers Academy, and it's going to be its own thing, and they're going to share the profits from that. Maybe they do it contractually, where people enter through one company and there are services that are provided by the other one, but it's a long-term contract that goes on for years rather than a few months or days. So lastly, you really want to think about how you get out of strategic alliance and how that works. And I always start off with saying you need to think about terminating the alliance, because they're not meant to be forever, but they are meant to be specific for a need at a specific time. So you need to be able to anticipate alliance partner turnover and be flexible. What if the NSA decides that they no longer want to deal with the Speakers Academy, but the PSA wants to keep it? How does that work? How do we deal with that? Who keeps the rights? How does anybody get paid out of it? Those things are important to know and understand when you're talking about a strategic alliance, because you want to make sure that you're continuing on whatever it is that you built, or is it going to go away, and who has rights to that. So as you think about strategic alliances, and if you're going to enter into one, think about your company, where it is, whether it's ready or not, but don't limit yourself to saying that it has to be the same type of company or a completely different company. Think about all the ways that you could grow your business and where a fit would work right for you. So you're probably wondering, who is this lady that's talking about strategic alliances? I am a business law attorney, and I've been practicing for over 15 years in the greater Houston area. I've worked with several small businesses, doing everything from creating them to keeping them in check with contracts and those types of things. And I've also worked with my clients on building strategic alliances. And we've done this in various different ways. We've done this with doing contracts in terms of employment. So we have three companies that come together to be able to build employees. We've also done it in terms of services, where we've had clients who are building websites and they need live streaming services, and we brought in another company to do the live streaming services, and they have a long-term strategic alliance. And this makes a difference because it takes the burden off of one company and it shares it around everyone else. And it's very important to be able to have these things in place to secure your business. If you'd like more information about strategic alliances, please like my Facebook page at The CEO Effect. That's TheCEOEffect. Also on Twitter, you can find me at The CEO Effect. And as soon as I get off this call, I am going to upload an alliance building model checklist. And so it'll have different things that will tell you what things you need to look at in terms of building an alliance. And you can look at if something is going to work for you or not work for you, or if you have some people in mind, how is that going to work in terms of what you need to do. So you will find that on my Twitter page as well as my Facebook, and you can like that. Also, if you're in the greater Houston area, I will be at the life-changing event on August 19th in Pearland. And I also have a leisure learning class on September 23rd called Legal Issues Affecting Small Businesses. And that seminar really is talking about various different aspects of your business and things that you need to look at. So much as far as and talk about contracts, we'll also talk about business entities, we'll talk about employees, and we'll also talk about litigation issues. And so those are things that you can learn more about. I appreciate you having me on the call, and I hope that you all learned something today about strategic alliances.